Hey, good morning, everybody, and happy day after Labor Day here in the good old USA. Okay, it's September 5th. It's Tuesday, by the way, 2023. It's not Monday. Yesterday was Labor Day. Okay, today's Tuesday. It's only a four-day week. Be happy about that. And I know today is the official day when I think everybody is back to school coast to coast. So like I always do, I wish everybody well and a happy and a good and successful school year. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio again on September 5th, 2023. And we've got a great show for you today. I'm pronouncing your name right. We're going to find out in a minute. I've got a great guest, T. Thibault. Okay, and T is the Vice President of Product Experience at Zello, which is X-E-L-L-O, at Zello.world. We'll tell you all about it. It's college careerness technology, college and career readiness technology. It's going to not only talk about the product, that's one thing, but we're also going to talk about how they build accessibility into the product, how they build AI into the product. And, you know, this is extremely important as we enter this new age, particularly this brand new age of AI in schools. But, of course, with accessibility, which is what we are all about at our American Consortium for Equity over at ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you'll see our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's our online journal. All the podcasts like this one are archived over there. Tons of other information, featured articles from the magazine and the website and from folks, sound like PBS here, folks like you. We want our listeners to write us in, give us their adventures in equity and access, and we usually do a pretty good job of publishing them all. So I hope you take advantage of that. We also have our Excellence in Equity Awards program. You'll see the link. Please go over there, check that out, nominate yourself, the companies you work with, your colleagues, your schools, et cetera, et cetera. We have a lot of categories. People really enjoy it, and it's a nice award. Free for educators, like everything we do, is over at ace-ed.org. So I invite you to check it out. Without further ado, thank you for letting me blab this Tuesday morning. I'm getting T on the line all the way from, I believe, Sweden. T, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you beautifully all the way across Scandinavia and across the North Atlantic over here to Maine. It's nice to have you here. T, how'd I do in pronouncing your name?
Okay. You know what? You nailed both the first and the last name. Absolutely. T. Thibault. You absolutely nailed it. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Thank you.
Super excited to be here today.
And I am super excited to have you. And T is the Vice President of Product Experience at Zello. Okay, and 20 years of experience. I'm just going to read this off the little bio. 20 years of experience in software, okay, as a service, software as a service. And he has a special interest in taming complexity. And he's responsible for growing and marketing a global team of cross-functional product designers, researchers, and contact designers for the company's career and college readiness platform. Now, that's the official reading of the actual – that was good, wasn't it, T? The official reading.
Oh, that was perfect. Yeah, that was great.
Thank you, my friend. And you're in Sweden, right? Are you in Sweden today?
Yeah. I'm on a little island called Öland in Sweden, which is sort of just off the east coast of Sweden in the southern parts there. So I am a Canadian transplanted here in Sweden, but I, you know, as my bio says, I work with teams all over the world. So it doesn't really matter where we are these days. Internet's a wonderful thing. So
it sure as heck is. And Sweden's a wonderful place. I've never been there, but I read all the Wallander novels. So I feel comfortable with it. You ever read those?
Okay. Perfect. Oh yeah.
Did you have your, for sure. Yeah.
Those
I love
classics.
Heard Wallander.
For sure.
Okay. I read every one of the novels.
You can come over here,
yes,
and take in the scenic, the different landscapes and whatnot that appear in the novels.
It's always been a country that fascinated me. And, of course, I remember during the Vietnam years, Olof Palme and all that, who was assassinated. They never caught the murderer. I'm always fascinated with it and how Stockholm's a city of islands, et cetera. Are you in a small town over there? Just to get that out of the way.
No, I'm actually in Stockholm, but I have a second home here.
One of the islands.
Ireland, which is a small town.
Yeah.
One of the islands for sure. And you know what's really interesting about Stockholm in general is the accessibility of things like their subway, and they take it quite seriously, and it's been quite inspirational for me, actually.
Wow, it's pretty good. Speaking of accessibility, no wonder you're there. That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
Before we, first, good segue, Tay. I like that. Okay. I want to ask you something before we – so first of all, I want you to talk about Zello. Just talk about Zello, what it does, okay?
Sure. So, I mean, I think you kind of went into it, but we're a future readiness platform.
Yeah,
and
your,
we kind
of
focus on providing tools. Yeah, when we focus on providing, you know, tools and resources to students as well as educators and parents and a few other actors in the system, in sort of like in three main areas to help a student, which is like self-knowledge and skill building. So you might be looking at assessments, portfolios, interactive lessons in a number of different topic areas, that sort of thing. Also with the exploration of careers and educational pathways. And this is where we get a little bit into, you know, inclusion. So we're talking about community living,
right,
to entrepreneurship, military, apprenticeships, work-based learning opportunities, and of course, the usual suspects of, you know, college and technical training. And then the third piece, which is sort of setting goals and creating plans to achieve those goals. So that might include things like your high school course plan, short-term, long-term goals, your post-secondary planning, or, you know, being able to apply to colleges and universities through the system. So essentially, those are sort of the three main buckets, if you will. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And I have to ask, how long, okay, were you in education before you started working with them? Were you doing anything with, like, this type of business before you started working for them? I know you were a software guy, and I know that. And I know what your skills, without question, apply. But I'm just curious, okay, this is an educational product, if I may, okay, in the field of education.
Right.
We want kids to use it, et cetera. And just talk about your background in getting into this part of the world.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I was trained as a musician as a young guy out of high school going to college. I then transitioned. I was a professional musician for a number of years. And then
What'd you play?
I found this. A guitar player, yeah. So I studied jazz in college, and then
good man.
And then moved to, you know, my girlfriend came home at the time, this girlfriend that I was seeing came home with this computer, and she's like, this is a thing called the internet. She had one of these dial-up modems, right, and it's making all kinds of noise. And then I think she went to, like, MySpace, where, you know, back in those days, it was like
a black background
with blinking green text, right? And I saw that, and I was just like, this is going to be huge. And I started to learn to code that night. And that's where my start got. And I ended up, you know, being quite successful in that and creating my own company. And then we got a call from some guys from a company called Career Cruising. Now, if you remember, Career Cruising is a predecessor to Zello. And the same guys that I'm working with now, mm-hmm. the wonderful Jeff and Matt, that was their company. And we started a relationship as a vendor. Yeah, and then I went out and did paramedicine to be a bit of a, you know, out in right field there. But I did that for seven years, and then I went for lunch with Matt and Jeff, and they asked me to come back and help them get a new version of the software up and running. And that was 2012, and I haven't left since.
Wow. That is, and 10 years later, for goodness sakes. Okay, it's just. You know, it's just incredible. So you like what you're doing? This is worldwide, I assume. I mean, you guys are is the company in Sweden, or because you said Jeff and Matt, where are they?
No, not in Sweden. We have product in, I think, Italy, Slovenia, the UK, and of course, you know, US and Canada are big markets for us, and the US is our biggest market, and that's where we focus, you know, the bulk of our energies. Yeah.
So are you the only guy in Sweden? I'm just curious.
I am the only guy in Sweden, yeah.
You lucky dude.
Folks to me would be the UK folks, and then I have our research leader who's down in Switzerland. So,
I love companies today. Yeah. It's just amazing, okay? Just how far along everything is. It's just amazing. And now I want to talk to you. Okay. By the way, does AI play a part in any of this?
It does, but for my teams, the AI is mostly in tooling. So how we go about building the product, not so much, it doesn't render itself so much in the product yet. At this time, we're trying to better understand the technology and how to leverage that in the product. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does play a big role in the tooling, like the tools we use. Yeah.
And that brings up, and I always like to mention, especially in the world of technology, you folks at Zello, in creating the product, understand as much as you can right now, using AI, all right? And it always amazes me that some educators are scared of AI. But the goal of it, and this, I always think this is an important philosophy, the goal of education is to train people to be able to use successfully all the tools they need. Okay, so rather than be scared of AI, if somebody wants to become an engineer at, say, Zello or something like that, they need to understand AI. And it's K-12's job, okay, to make sure they do understand it. And there's no need to fear it. The thing is to learn how to use it and teach the kids how to use it properly. And that's why I asked that question, because as you guys are getting ready, okay, to help every student be future ready in their own world, okay, and what they need, it's education's job to make sure they learn how to use all the tools they will need. It's like having education and not letting them use a calculator. That makes no sense in today's
world. Yeah.
And the AI is going to be the same exact thing. It will not make sense, okay? In your job, it would be crazy. You as a brilliant engineer, okay? You would be crazy not to use AI, learn about it and use it. And that's what we're there for. So everybody, don't be scared of AI. Learn about it and use it.
100%.
Good thoughts, Steve?
I mean, it's like any other tool. You mentioned a calculator. It's sort of like a modern-day calculator in many ways, right? And I think some of our engineers are already using it to save up to 30% of the time. On redundant, mundane tasks. Why wouldn't you try to remove that important work done rather than the slog work, if you will?
Yeah, now give away my age. I was in my, I think, my first or second year of teaching when calculators came out onto the market, just a regular calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll laugh about this. One of the kids in the school I taught brought one in. His father had paid $125 back then for a four-function calculator. And we gathered around it like the apes in 2001 with the obelisk because we couldn't believe this thing was doing what it's doing and you're holding it in your hand, okay? Four functions, okay? And all the math teachers, this is the end of math teaching. They're all going to cheat. Hello? You know, it's the same thing with AI. And talking to an engineer about it, I love it because you made my point, okay? It's going to come into your product. It has to, like everything else these days. But right now you're using it to create a better product. And on that note, okay, you when we put together this show, all right, you wanted me to talk, and I like this. Your approach, your software approach to accessibility technology, and why, and I'll just read your question, why it needs to be a part of an organization's culture in order for it to be successful. And I think the organizations you're talking about are A, a company like Zello, and B, the school district itself. Okay, talk about the accessibility technology and how you think about that as you create your product, Zello. Again, everybody, Zello, X-E-L-L-O, Zello.world.
Right.
But,
well, I mean, you know, we can take a look at it from a number of different levels or resolutions, if you will. But I mean, when you think about an organization's culture, there's a number of reasons. You can look into like it's an ethical responsibility, right? We can look at it from that lens. We can look at like innovation and creativity, because sometimes it does lead to you having constraints in how you design something, which can lead to innovation. And the beautiful thing with that is that it's benefiting everybody and not just individuals with disabilities. Right. So that's
right.
I find that's been really, really great for us. I think the employee engagement is another one. So it's like all about morale and retention, because you're looping back to that ethical responsibility and people want to get behind that. Right. So that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, you can look at it from a user engagement perspective as well. If we take a look at something that, you know, maybe we talk about it a little bit later, like a reading level, for instance. So we write to like a grade 6 reading level for our middle to high school students. And you think, grade 6? Geez, why are you writing to grade 6? Well, think about Harry Potter, right? Harry Potter is written to that reading level. You ever think that Harry Potter is a poorly written book that's not engaging? You would never think that, right? So everybody benefits from them, right? And I mean, if you're reading something at a postdoc level, you know, there's a lot of people. But the thing is, if you're writing to a grade six level, you're not going to lose anybody. And in fact, they're going to be like,
right.
Oh, this is really great. And it flows. I don't really know why. They're not really thinking, oh, the reading level is really low. They're just thinking, this is really well written. And then we look at things from continuous improvement to, you know, from a company perspective, it can be reputation and brand image, all those types of things, competitive advantage, market expansion, and of course, legal compliance. So there's a number of different reasons at a very high level that we want to take advantage of what accessibility has to offer, right?
And it does, and especially in this day and age. I mean, there's a lot of technology that goes into accessibility. And a lot of accessibility mm-hmm. that goes into technology. It's kind of getting to be a symbiotic
yeah.
relationship out there, okay? And
sure.
besides reading level, yeah, it is, really. You can take it either way. And besides reading level, okay, what else do you need to look at? I mean, you're trying to get every kid, I'm just reading off your website here, every student future ready, okay? We want every kid to be
right.
ready, regardless of their background, their ability, okay, the pathway they've chosen. Okay, and I'll use my favorite line. Everybody says college and career ready. I always just say career ready. College will make you career ready.
Right.
It's redundant. We just want to be career ready. You don't
right.
have to go to college. I need a plumber today. Okay, he's going to his own kind of college. Okay, or she is, and that's the kind of person we need. Whatever your pathway, we want you to understand what you need. Okay, so just talk about what else. You know, reading level. How else do you build it in? What else?
Well, it's interesting, if I can just pause for a moment on one of those thoughts, is that, you know, really the way
sure.
that we kind of look at how we put our product out in the world is all students, all pathways, all abilities. So that kind of sums it up, right?
Nice.
And I think
nice.
when we're talking about accessibility, we have this inclusivity as well, and they're very much tied. We don't really separate them, but if we wanted to separate them, we could look at breaking it down into like sort of two buckets, if you will. So there's sort of like a hard accessibility, which is like meeting WCAG standards or Section 508 or whatever the standard, the European standard, whatever that is. But then there's what I might call like a soft accessibility, which is inclusivity and reach. And they're different things. If you're talking about inclusivity and reach and you bring that into a courtroom, it's not going to go anywhere. Let's say if there was a court battle because your product wasn't accessible or something like that. But if you look at like WCAG standards, that's a different thing. So the WCAG standards would focus more on things like full keyboard navigation, ensuring that your images don't contain data and information, closed captions for video content, you know, your target sizes, your color contrast, font size, like all of these very technical things that we basically have a checklist for and we'll provide a VPAT for, because you can go through line item by line item and you can kind of check those off through a definition of done, which is something that we do from an engineering perspective. But then what I think is most interesting and a lot of people sort of gloss over is the inclusivity and the reach. So this goes back to all students, all abilities, all pathways. So it's often in line with inclusivity, and it might include, you know, what we just talked about, which is sort of that grade six reading level, that sort of Harry Potter level, simple readability, like using spacing, using lists, like very, very nuanced stuff, could be text to speech. It could be simplifying the navigation UI elements. It can be challenging traditional gender role stereotypes or representing visible minorities in the software, because we have a very visual platform that we want to sort of engage you and sort of draw you into
mm-hmm.
the visual. So that becomes very important. And then the other pieces are, you know, if you look at some of the other folks in the same space that we're in, it's very much like college readiness. Right, it's all about going to university, but we give equal footing to entrepreneurship, equal footing to community living, equal
right,
footing to
right.
apprenticeships, right? Like all these different learning pathways. And then again, you get into inclusive language, you get into multi-language, and all of these softer elements that really aren't part of any standard except for Zello's standard, because we've woven that into the DNA of our product strategy, I guess. I was a little
yeah.
long-winded. I apologize, but
no, you're not being
long-winded
at all. I get
a little bit excited about this stuff. So. Yeah.
you're entitled to be. You do it every day, okay? And it's absolutely incredible. You know, where does it go from here? What do you see happening in the future with all this?
Oh, boy. It's a good question. I'm always trying to look around
Your
corners.
Your bosses wanted me to ask you that question before they give you the raise. Okay? They said.
Yeah, I mean, I do think a lot of it
only
is,
kidding, by the
know,
way.
Larry
only kidding.
Coming,
yeah.
I do think it is, Larry, coming down to, you know, one big question is how do we best utilize the power of artificial intelligence? And I think that, you know, when I envision that, I envision having inputs like a 360-degree input of a student and what a student looks like and understanding that and creating a very powerful model that can then automagically give a student more relevant options to consider. Because right now it's, you know, we're still in the infancy stages of technology. I mean, the internet's only really been around in any, you know, widespread way for maybe 25 years or so. So just imagine what happens in the next 5 years, right?
Well, actually, that brings up a good question. It's basically the same question. Zillow started, let's say, 25 years ago. Is that right? Would you say that? Is that fair?
That's more or less, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, 25. In the 25 years, you had an idea of what it should be 25 years ago. The guys did. You haven't been there for that long. You've been there for 10, 12 years. Okay.
Right.
But, yeah, that's okay. The guys had a vision, Jeff and Matt, of what it should be. But over the course of this, basically this century, okay, obviously that's changed. Okay, and my question is, as we look to the future and you look at the things that were, quote, missing, okay, so to speak, in the past and have been added in, what do you think going from here? You know what? I mean, maybe that's the question. What was missing from the beginning that you guys added in? Maybe that's an easier way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's a great
question. But it gives you a pathway for the future because you know where you've been. To go, to figure where you're going. Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we first got a start, it was more about, okay, we have these databases of information. It might be schools, careers, you know, labor market information, these types of things. And we would organize things in terms of data. And then you have to hunt and peck and work really hard with the, you know, against high friction to get what you need out of the system. Whereas I think what we've been moving towards all this time and things like, you know, large language models and whatnot will help us get to is personalization. So everything's magic. I mean, we've come to use Google and all these wonderful technologies, and they're always putting things in front of us that we just take for granted now. Like I put on Google Maps. That is one of the most incredible apps
ever
to be created. Like to map the whole world, if you will. And it's so incredibly accurate. That's just one example, but I think it's just like the personalization within the application that's helping you do X, Y, or Z. And I think that that's what we're moving toward, and that's what we're helping students with so that there's less friction and there's less hunt and peck to get there, if that makes sense.
It does. And I want to ask this the right way. I got to think it through for a second. How has the – let's see, how do I ask this? Maybe you don't even know, but I'll ask. How has the student changed? Okay, you have to be aware of the students out there today. They're actually different than they were 25 years ago. In fact, those people are now the parents of the students that are there now. All right? You know, when you look at who you're talking to, how do you see that they have changed to build that into the system? That's a tough question. I got you all kinds of ethics here. Didn't mean to take you so philosophical.
This is a lot of a lot of dimensions, Larry. I think, like, you know, when we were doing research with students when we were first creating Zello, we wanted to find out what things they valued. And it changed between Canadian students and U.S. students. But I think some of the things that they value might be things more like making a difference in the world, working on something that is aligned sort of with their ethics and what they want to get out of their life at the end of their life, kind of looking back versus, you know, maybe 25, 30 years ago, I want a job, make lots of money. So there's sort of some nuanced differences in there. And then I think if you look at behaviorally how kids interact with technology, their expectations are a lot higher than your expectations or my expectations still are. Sometimes, you know, a software does something for me, I'm like, wow, I didn't really expect that. But maybe if you asked a 15-year-old, they're like, oh, I expect that from all the software. So the bar is very high there. And I think it just goes on and on. I think what we're seeing now is we're seeing specifically when it comes to, you know, getting ready for, you know, the life beyond secondary school and going into a post-secondary world, it might be kids being a little bit more cautious about spending $40,000 a year and going to college, and instead maybe doing
the apprenticeship. There's 1,000 articles. There was just an article in the New York Times yesterday. Just an article in the New York Times today or yesterday. You know, people are judging whether higher education is worth the cost. Okay?
Well, it's a return on investment.
Man, this is New York Times front page.
Yeah, exactly. So those types of things. So, I mean, we're always thinking about, well, how can we help kids, even if you want to go to college, how can we help you with the return on investment? I want to be
exactly.
an educator. Okay, you can go to that college and pay $40,000 a year, or you can go to this other college for the exact same degree, and it's going to be $5,000
a year. Exactly.
And that's the return
Thank
on
you.
Investment. Are you going to get more jobs paying $40,000, or is that more about your ego or your parents' ego, or, you know, is it all in the family because you've been doing it in this family for four generations? I mean, we don't know, right? But it's really like, can we build those tools to help people frame things a bit differently in how they think about their return on investment?
Yeah, it's really cool. And last question, I got to ask you this. What filters down to you from the audience using the product? What are you hearing from them? What are the gangs let you? What does the gang let you see? Let's put it that way. What are you hearing from them?
Are we talking about students or are we talking about educators or parents?
Let's talk educators since we're talking to them. What are you hearing from educators? That's thank you for helping me rephrase. What are you hearing from educators?
I think from educators, they're very focused on workflows and efficiency and making sure that they can easily use softwares to meet the mandates and to be able to report on those mandates.
Yep.
And, you know, each state has different mandates and different things that they need to fulfill. And it's challenging for a vendor like us to be able to put all those things out in the world.
Exactly.
But it's a lot more data driven. So I think that's a big change. You know, we're moving away from the large filing cabinet to having reams and reams of data that needs to be crunched and made and some sense making applied to it. So I think that's one of the main things that we're seeing now from the educator perspective.
Yeah, and hence AI. You're going to build in AI for the educator as well as the end user. Okay,
it's going there to be that
simple. You know, it's just
there
a vicious cycle out there. What can I tell you? Gee, this was great. I love talking to you today. And I'm not sure you're Canadian. Can you please pronounce A-B-O-U-T? Go ahead.
About?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Usually, I'm not sure you're Canadian.
I assure
you're
Canadian.
To know a boot. Yeah, a boot.
about.
Just kidding. My Canadian friends. Just kidding. I only live 5 hours from Canada, 4 hours from Canada. Please, I live in Maine. I go up there all the time. Please forgive me.
Oh, you're in Maine. Okay.
Gotcha.
Well,
I love it up there.
You know what, Larry? Thanks so much for the time. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, gee, this was just great. I loved your approach to things, and this is the software side. A lot of people don't realize, you know, the educators see Zello. They see it as the sales rep who pops in every so often. Okay, and tries to make, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they got you and 1,000 other people in the background just working on this stuff all the time. And I always like to bring that out to the educators we talk to here, that there's a whole army behind every product you see, and a lot of thought goes into every product you see about education, because the industry, I believe this, our industry really cares that the products work. Okay, they're constantly making them better. So I think it's really important we talk. So thank you, my friend, for being here. What time is it there? Was it 5 hours later, 2:30 or something? What time is it?
Yeah, it's 3:30 now, so 6 hours.
3:30, I'm 1 hour off. Okay, well, go have an early dinner. What can I tell you? Have some schmorbrot. Is that good or is that Danish?
I'll go grab a cafe or coffee or something, I guess, then.
There you go. You know,
thanks so much,
Larry. Do they have fresh herring available to you? Fresh herring.
Oh, yeah. They call it
fresh herring.
You can get it in all kinds of different forms.
I'll save your email. I've got to get over there.
I'll send you a can of the rotten stuff. You'll love that. Don't open it inside. Thanks so much, Larry.
Someday I'll tell you my experience with Vegemite in Australia. I opened that inside, the biggest mistake of my life. Oh, my God. Right? I had a run out the door. But that's besides the point. I can't wait to come to Sweden. Thanks, T. You're a good man. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so
buddy.
Much, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a pleasure, for goodness sakes. Okay. T. Thibault is the VP of Product Experience at Zello, Xello.world. Okay, good stuff. And again, I'd like you to see what's going on behind the scenes. I like to learn it too. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Everything we do is free for educators. And if you want to get in touch with me, it's larry@ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening. And again, remember, it's Tuesday, day after Labor Day.